Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening is written in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the first chapter beginning with the 16th verse. I never stop giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowing Christ fully. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know the hope to which he has called you, just how rich his glorious inheritance among the saints is, and just how surpassingly great his power is for us who believe. It is as great as the working of his mighty strength, which God worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and above every name that is given, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. God also placed all things under his feet and made him head over everything for the church. The church is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. This is God's word. Dear friends in Christ, Jesus ascended on high. That is the fact we celebrate this evening. He is powerful. He is loving. He cares for us, his church. Now, these are some characteristics that business leaders would have us believe of them. But they don't always succeed. Too many times, they fail. But not so with Jesus. So this evening we look at Jesus Christ, CEO or Chief Executive Officer, reigning in heaven for us. We see, first of all, he is our Chief Executive Officer by God's power. It was evident in our Lord's last few days on the earth. It is as great as the working of his mighty strength, which God worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. We celebrated that on Easter. Jesus overcame death and the devil with his resurrection. Hard to believe. Humanly speaking, impossible. No person by himself can become alive again once he is dead. Now, there were a few that Jesus raised from the dead, but they didn't do it. The Lord did it. But now, on his resurrection, the Lord was raised by the power of his Father, a power which the Lord also had by himself, as he showed in his many miracles that he performed while he walked upon this earth in his public ministry. So his resurrection shows the power. When he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. That, of course, refers to what we're looking at this evening. Refers to his ascension. Now, where did he go? What did the disciples see? He was talking to them. All of a sudden, he starts going up. And a cloud appears, and he disappears in the cloud, never to be seen again until Judgment Day. Where did he go? Back to where he came from. He left heaven to become a human being to save us. And at his ascension, he returned back to heaven again, having all of the heavenly powers that he had put aside. The power of God was evident in his life, his death, and his resurrection, and his ascension. And that power is also for us. And just how surpassingly great his power is for us who believe. When times get difficult, we wonder, are we going to make it? Then the Lord says, don't worry. I will be by your side with all of my power. You see, nothing is impossible with him. In our Bible class, when we had the chance to stump the pastor, one question was asked, what should we pray for? And should we be confident in our prayers? What do we pray for? Lord says, pray for everything. In good times, thank him. In difficult times, place yourselves in his hands, his powerful hands. And he says, I will take care of it. Maybe not in our way, maybe not in our time, but he will take care of it in his own time, in his own way, and it will benefit us. And we know this is true because he has that power. How many chief executive officers in this world have also made all kinds of wonderful promises and they failed? Or they were bad people to start with. They were lying. Not the case with Jesus. Now in heaven, with all of his power again, reigning the world in our behalf. Next, Paul tells us, he's our chief executive officer above all authorities. Far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion. Supposed earthly powers. In Jesus' day, that was Rome. Very, very powerful nation. Soon to fall. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't all-powerful. Greece, similar. A very, very strong nation for a long time in the world. But we don't see it, that power today. It failed. Today, powers. I think of Russia. Or more so, USSR. You young people can remember those initials, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republic. That was Russia, and it was powerful. But it fell. It's not the power that it used to be. It would like to be that power, but it doesn't have that much power. And again, who is more powerful? It is Jesus. And look at the powers in the world today. Look at our country. Strong country. Big army. Respected mostly by most of the countries in the world. They come to us for help. How long will we last? I don't know. I've had many people say we don't think it's going to last much longer because it's opposing God and his word and his ways. But that's up to God. He says, I'll take care of it. We think of Iraq. My second son served two stints over there. A bloody war. They thought that Ayatollah Khomeini, Osama bin Laden, thought he was the all-powerful man. And he got wiped out. I don't have to go into any more details. We have powers that come and powers that go. But Jesus is above all those powers. And when he says it's time, that power will disappear. and probably another one will become strong again until this world comes to an end. Then he also says, and above every name that is given, past names, the Caesars, again, the Lord's day, that's when he was there. They kind of rule the world. They aren't around anymore. Egypt, the time of Joseph, one of the strongest nations in the world. The Pharaoh thought he was God, and he acted like it, and he built huge statues of himself so everybody could bow down to him. I already mentioned Osama bin Laden. How about Ayatollah in Iran? He thinks he is so powerful, and the sitting Ayatollah no longer is, and the other ones will try to take his place. Men also think they are strong, but they're human. God is above that. He's above all nations, all powers. He's above all rulers, above all authorities. He says, God also placed all things under his feet. He's over all. He's not just sitting in heaven. I know when I got back from golfing today, I sat on the couch and I relaxed. I was pretty tired. Jesus isn't doing that. He's up there watching over each one of us. That's hard to understand, isn't it? How can he watch everybody at once? But he does. And he cares about us. And he takes care of us. Because he is the ruler of all. He's also the chief executive officer for his church. Made him head over everything for the church. His concern? Look at why he came. Why did he leave heaven in the first place? We can't wait to get there, right? He left. He left because he loves us. Because he wants us to go and live with him too eventually. And he knew we couldn't do that. We couldn't make it possible. So he did. With his power. As the God-man, Jesus Christ, he lived a perfect life, which we couldn't do for us. As the God-man, yes, he died on the cross, but on Easter Sunday, he overcame death and the devil with his resurrection. And he said, because I have risen, you too will one day rise to live with me in glory. Because I have died, I've paid the price for all of your sins. They're all gone. Just believe. And as he told the disciples, go to Jerusalem, I will send someone who will anoint you. And that was the Holy Spirit. That was Pentecost. But the Holy Spirit's still working today with us. He brought us to faith. He keeps us in the faith. He keeps us as children of God. Because Jesus gave his life to make us exactly that. He will always be there. How do we know that? I keep praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowing Christ fully. I've been watching a couple of days now an unbeliever trying to explain or make sense out of the miracles of the Bible. And the two that I saw so far crossing the Red Sea, of course, he says that was a misnomer. It's not the Red Sea, it's the Reed Sea. And that's a very shallow lake. But he said, I can't figure out how that whole army disappeared if it's just a reed lake and it's only up to your shoulders. He said, I can't figure that one out. But he said, I figured everything else out. So it happened naturally. Sodom and Gomorrah. Caused by an earthquake and pits of asphalt which when an earthquake happens, that asphalt pits explode and fire comes flying out. And he said, that's what happened with Sodom and Gomorrah. So it wasn't a miracle. It was a natural happening. They don't want to believe God's word. We do. We believe it because in it we learn all that God wants us to know about him. And especially we read it and believe it because it tells us how we're going to get to heaven. Not through our works, but through the works of Jesus. He said, just believe it now, and heaven will be your home. But you need to be reminded of that. So he says, read my word. Just a few verses at a time. Think about what you are reading. Not just words, but think about what it says. And you'll be amazed how the Holy Spirit will open up your mind to all of a sudden hear things you never thought of. That's what happens when you look at his word. Jesus is now back in heaven, ruling the world on our behalf. He's not idle. He continues to work for us as our ascended Lord. Believe he is there. Trust him to take care of you, knowing that one day you will join him in heaven. Amen.